All right, thanks everybody. Thanks for joining in tonight. Thanks for letting me share and open up. Always be learning. I'm not sure my grammar is right here, but I'd like be overdoing. I'm really focused on being more than just doing. So I like always be learning. If my grammar is wrong, please excuse. So when I was a teenager, I didn't have like posters up in my room of like basketball players or stars or musicians or anything like that. I was into astronomy. And so in my room, it was plastered with all kinds of photos, images of the skies. And that's kind of followed me like through my whole life. And so what you're looking at here, this is a fairly recent picture of the observable space, right? So we've got a new telescope out there, the James Webb Space Telescope. And it wanted to take a look in deep space and see, okay, how far can we see? And when we take a look, what's out there? And so when they got this photo, all these lights, they're pretty much all galaxies, right? And it just floored people about all the galaxies they could see as far as we could look. Now, we're limited in how far we can see, but as far as we can see, the sky just lit up. And what they did was they kind of estimated that there was about from 2 to 20 trillion galaxies in the observable universe. 2 to 20 trillion. Now that is a huge number, and it's mind-boggling. It's hard to wrap my head around it, but that's enormous. And if you kind of go back a little bit, they pretty much theorized that, we're in a galaxy ourselves, and the galaxy that we're in is the Milky Way galaxy. Now, nobody on Earth has ever seen the whole Milky Way galaxy because it's, too big, and we can't get out far enough to kind of get a picture like this. But for other galaxies that we can see that are similar to ours, they look like this spiral that's going on. And so we kind of assume that ours looks the same way. And this is kind of where we're floating around in right now in the Milky Way galaxy. So you know how when you go to the mall and you take a look and it's like, this is where you are. So this is kind of a picture of like where they think we are in this galaxy, right? And so our solar system, right? Where all of our planets that are floating around in our galaxy, they think we're right about here, out on the outer edge, right? And they call us that we're on the Orion Arm, on one of the spirals that are in our galaxy. So we're here. So if you ever want to go driving and take a look, this is kind of where you would put in your GPS and go. Of course, it'd take you about a gazillion years to get there, but at least you know kind of where you're going. But if you dial it down, now this is just an image. Again, nobody's, this is what they think it looks like. Nobody's ever seen it at this stage. But if you dial down a little bit, if you get closer and you're on Earth, you do kind of see it because this is an actual photo of looking up in the sky and seeing like parts of the Milky Way. And because of all the dust and the distance, we can't really see all the different arms of it. But if you're in the night sky and you're in the right place, and this is on my bucket list, I do want to get someplace where it's dark enough and you're at the right time to be able to see this. But it's absolutely amazing. It's an amazing, amazing sight to take a look up and say, yeah, you know what? We are part of something bigger. And so again, with this new telescope, we were able to get a better view again of kind of where we are looking out into that, again, that arm of, our galaxy. And if you just take a look, we talked about, 2 to 20 trillion galaxies, but just in our own little old galaxy, They estimate that there's about from 100 to 400 billion stars and about that many planets. And so we're talking like huge numbers of creation out here. And so in Psalm 19, verse 1, it says here, the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they reveal knowledge. They have no speech. They use no words. No sound is heard from them. Yet their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. And this is just like one of these classic, like Old Testament ways of phrasing things where they kind of juxtapose things because it talks about how the heavens declare the glory of God. And on one hand, he says they pour forth speech, but then it says they have no speech, they have no words, no sound. But then he says their voice goes out into all the earth, right? That's like typical Old Testament way of phrasing stuff there because they want you to get the imagery is that, yeah, they don't have like formal speech, but if you take a look at the sky and you begin to look at the wonders that are out there, it declares the glory of God. It speaks for itself. It doesn't need like a voice to talk to you. Just look at it. And I think that's one of those things when people talk about going on prayer walks and getting out in nature. It says that the heavens will declare the glory of God. It says, day after day, night after night, they reveal knowledge. They reveal knowledge. If you're learning, if you have a mindset to learn, if you want to be able to understand what's going on, like you can go, I mean, we can literally just walk around day after day and pay no attention to what's going on. Never look up in the sky and say, oh no, there's the sun, or hey, look at the moon, or isn't that a wonderful, I mean, we, you know, from time to time, but you can get so busy, it just all becomes commonplace. Yeah, that's a tree or whatever, and that's, you know, a few animals sitting over there. But if you take the time to listen to what it's telling you, you can learn a lot about God. And so you come down a little further from out of the galaxies. In John chapter 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life. And that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And so John just lays out here, and in my mind, it kind of goes back to me, my frame when I read this so much of the time, it takes me back to Genesis 1, of course. But my mindset and my frame can be, okay, God created everything in this world and everything in it. But as we just took a look, my paradigm needs to shift. God created everything, everything, everywhere. And so all these 20 trillion galaxies, all these stars, all these billions and billions, trillions and trillions, in distances that we can't even imagine, God created everything, everything, everywhere. And it was created through his word. And we learn here that the word was with God from the beginning and that he created everything. It talks about the light and the darkness. And when you, of course, you take a look at space, you see all this light and darkness. And so all of these things kind of flow together here. So in John chapter 1 and verse 9, he says, the true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world. And though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of a natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. And so we have God and the Word, and this Word becomes flesh, and this flesh is Jesus. And so the creator of everything, everywhere, that is, the more we learn, the more we're seeing of what he created. He created everything, but he came to walk among us. To walk among us. And it says that to believe in him, becoming children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or husband's will, but born of God. And so if you're sitting here today, if you're joining and you're a Christian today, you were called by God. You were enabled by him to understand and receive his message. And so now you sit here as a child of the living God, who knows all things, created everything, including you and me. That God. And so there's so much that he wants to teach us. And so Jesus says, he says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and do what? Learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. And you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And so, one thing I know is that I don't know what journey you were on when you came to understand and to embrace Jesus, but I know at some point you were weary and burdened. Now, you may have been on a scale of 1 to 10, on a 1. Some of you may have been on an 11. I'm not sure, but something about Jesus talked to your soul and you responded to say, no, what I've learned here is better. What I'm learning about Jesus here is answering questions. And that's when he talks about one of the things about giving you rest is all this stuff we're trying to figure out day to day. He said, Jesus says, come to me. Learn from me. And we'll figure all this stuff out. I'll show you. Learn from me. And I'll get you to where you want to go. He says, because I'm gentle and humble in heart. Now, I've had some teachers who weren't gentle and humble. And let me tell you, I didn't like spending time around those guys. They were tough. And if I could have got out of there and still graduated, I would have, but I couldn't. So I had to go through it. And on the other hand, I had some teachers that were absolutely wonderful, and I've never, ever forgotten them. It's like they changed everything. Just being there, learning from them was like a pleasure, and you never, ever forgot it. Jesus outshines all of that, but it's amazing how he says, I'm gentle and humble. And so, out of all the stuff that we've got to learn, he's going to be gentle, humble, he's patient. But there is the expectation to learn from him. I'm going to read some scriptures here. I'm not going to talk about each of them. I'm going to read them. And I'm just going to let you ruminate on them for a while. And we'll see where it takes you. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. Proverbs chapter 1, beginning in verse 2. He says, "For gaining wisdom and instruction, for understanding words of insight, for receiving instruction and prudent behavior, doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to those who are simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance. For understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and riddles of the wise, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." Proverbs 9:9. "Instruct the wise and they will be wiser still. Teach the righteous and they will add to their learning. Whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but whoever hates correction is stupid." Proverbs 12:1 says, "The heart of the discerning acquires knowledge, for the ears of the wise seek it out." Proverbs 18:15. There are more that you can read in Proverbs. They speak for themselves. And so when we go about this learning journey, there are a lot of different ways to learn. I mean, we learned, talked about a little bit, just listening to what God's creation is saying to us. It's speaking to us. So just observing what's out there, what God has created, just paying attention to it, quieting our minds to be able to absorb it, to notice what he's saying through it. But another amazing way to learn is just through this experience. And Paul was great at it because he writes to Timothy here and he says, "You, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecution, sufferings. What kinds of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra? The persecutions I endured. Yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evildoers and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." Now, a quick tangent right here. That's an amazing verse for the children's ministry. You've known it from infancy. You know who you learned it from. Let me tell you, children's ministry right there. We should always be teaching our kids, but let me tell you, children's ministry, I'll leave it at that. That's from Paul. We need people to teach. But over and over again, he's talking to Timothy and he says, "Yeah, I taught you, but you learned from me because you were with me and you saw what happened." And when you learn that way, not only the teaching of what the word is saying, but you see somebody living it out and you're with them and you know all about it, it impacts you. It's not just head knowledge. It's real knowledge. It's knowledge that absolutely changes everything, absolutely everything. And it's one of the most impactful ways to learn. And so it was always that thing of like, okay, who are you with? Who are you spending time with? I remember being a young Christian and spending time with Steve Kinnaird and Mitch Mitchell and these guys. And it was the first time I saw somebody that had books upon books upon books about God. And it was just captivating to me. It was just like, you got to be kidding me. And Mitch Mitchell was really cool because he wouldn't let you borrow a book. He'd be like, no, you can't borrow it. You can read it while you're here and put it back. I would assume he's lost a lot of books in time and didn't want to lose any more. But it sparked something in me that was just like, wow, this is amazing. I want to know what's in those books. I spent time with Steve and Mitch and those guys, and I saw how they were with their families, their wives and their children. I had never seen anything like it. And I saw how they were trying to be godly men raising a godly family. And it changed everything about how I saw life. It changed me. And so that was one of the many ways to learn. And it's the most, for me, it was the most impactful. Never ever forgot it. Changed everything. But again, we've got to be able to take that time not to just hang out and have fun, but to listen and to learn and to ask questions and to know those from whom we learned it. Those things are always very, very impactful. And so you can, for me, there's been times in my life, okay, I want to learn, but exactly where do I go? What do I read? Where do I start? What is it? And so what I've learned over the years is that if you quiet yourself, the Spirit of God that's within you will point you in a direction. You'll hear a message. You'll hear a song and something will click. And the spirit is trying to talk to you. But it's up to you to kind of pull on that thread and see where it takes you and not just leave it there. So, whether it's midweek, whether it's, a Sunday message or just spending your quiet time. There are some deep things that if you let the spirit take you, will take you into deep waters. And you'll learn a lot about Jesus. And so these are some of the resources that I go to. And again, I'm sure you folks have plenty of them out there. Share them, in the fellowship about, where you're going and what you're learning. And these aren't any particular order. It's just kind of where I found them. And the first one I have up here, it's a podcast. Now, I'm not really a fan of podcasts. But this is a good one, and it's called The Thread. And it's a great conversation, a podcast on spiritual formation. It's pretty amazing. And it's very systematic. They've kind of got this 3-year plan going on that they're going to be teaching on spirituality. And it's amazing. It's amazing. Dr. Dave Pachter is one of the people there, and he's pretty amazing. He came through New Jersey. I got a chance to meet him for a little bit. I've seen him in a lot of the conferences that I've been to. It's amazing, but it's where you can get some ideas. The next one is the Bible Project. I'm sure a lot of you may know that, and that's if you like visual things, if you like your animation, but they do amazing, amazing work in the Bible Project. There's so much out there that you can get into and that they go as deep as you want to go in certain subjects. I know there are different classes that they get into that they get very, very deep, almost like college level classes deep into stuff. So wherever, the spirit takes you. I think the Bible Project is a great, visual kind of way to learn. And then one of my absolute favorites is Lagos. That website is like, I don't have like a big physical library, But if you were to unload my phone, it would probably fill up my basement. Because this website and this application is amazing. The amount of books that they have out there on a scholarly level, or just, talking about, faith and, from different authors, and the way that the technology is so synced up, you can just, it gives you references and you can click, you can find so much stuff out here. It's so much stuff, but it's like my favorite absolute place to go if I'm going to read. I'm an avid reader. I read a lot. And this connects a lot of dots for me. It makes it pretty easy because I can carry it around in my pocket. But it's amazing. And again, it's one of those sites where you can go and you can just go as deep as you want. Now, of course, with any site that you go to and anything that you're looking at, you always have to, be a Berean and take it back and say, okay, I know that's what they're talking about. Let me go and check and make sure that what they're telling me is true. You always want to take it and make sure that you're doing your due diligence, but these are some pretty reliable places here. And the last one that I'll give you is Parallel Plus. It's another one of these applications that I have on my phone. I absolutely love it. Again, it's one of those apps that you can, it'll take you as deep as you want to go. The way I use it is that you can see up to six different translations, on your tablet or laptop or phone, that you want to. So you can always compare the different translations and kind of see, the different translations of the scriptures. But the really cool part, if you want to go deeper, is that for any word that's in there, you can go and you can click on it and it'll take you on a deep dive of what, that word. You can see, where else is it in the Bible, how it's used. And another really cool feature is that you can click on it and it'll show you the Greek. And so I've been using that a lot. And you can go, as you know how people always say, well, what does it say in the Greek? Well, you can always click on it and says, well, it actually says this. It's pretty cool. And so in my attempt here to learn Greek, it's been absolutely instrumental. It's been pretty cool to go through and learn how to read the Bible in Greek and actually kind of understand it. I'm never going to be a Greek scholar. I'll put that out there. But I can pretend one on TV. It's pretty cool. And so I'm going to finish up here. And I just want to say again, always be learning. Always, always, always. There's so many worse ways to learn, and God wants to tell us and teach us so much. But it's also an expectation. Jesus says, I want you to come and learn from me. He says you'll find rest for your souls, but it's not a retirement home. It's rest for your soul, but your mind will be invigorated. There's so much to learn. And if you want to be real direct, again, just read the Proverbs. That's the word of the Lord, and it's pretty direct. But folks, there's so much to learn. And if you're always learning, let me tell you, there's so much out here. And the more you learn, the more you're going to want to learn. And the more you learn, the more you're going to be transformed. And it's not going to just be head knowledge, but things you'll be able to transform yourself and let the Spirit transform you, and your life will be transformed. So again, thanks for letting me share. I'll end it here and I'll turn it back over to Phil.